So today we're going to finish up our series on worshiping God with our finances. And I know I joked earlier, but this one will actually be shorter, and quite literally because of the amount of pages I had. So you can test me on that. You can challenge me at the end. But I wanted to, again, give another point, just one day to focus on this point. And it truly ties this up so perfectly. It'll wrap up the series in such a beautiful way because it's less of a physical practice. Everything we've talked about so far is a physical practice. You account your finances, you save, you plan, you tithe. Those are very practical things that you can do. Today we're going to talk about more of a principle and a guideline for living our life. And not only will it apply to our finances, but it'll apply to every area of our walk with God. What we're going to talk today is something that transcends just our finances. That's a beautiful thing about God, is when he gives us something, he gives it for every area of our life. When it talks about being faithful, he wants us to be faithful in every area of our life. When he says love, Jesus says, all right, yeah, love your neighbor, but you know what? Love your enemy. You know what? Love your family. He says, continue to love, love, love. There's not just an area. He says, yeah, just love in this area. Every other area, it's okay. He says, love in every area. So today we're going to talk about something that, yes, applies to our finances, but it carries outside just our finances. Over the past few weeks, we've covered a lot regarding our finances as believers. We broke down some misconceptions, and our godly foundation for our finances is that the Lord wants to be involved to make sure our finances don't lead us down a path of sin. We've made that clear each week that the reason we're doing that is we do not want to end up money controlling us or our finances to lead us in an area where we find ourselves betraying what the Lord has told us to do. We've made that clear each week. We can have a godly relationship with our finances through accounting, through planning, saving, and then last week we talked about tithing. We tithe to honor him. We tithe to receive blessings. We tithe as an act of faith, and we tithe as an act of joy. These are all reasons that we are called to tithe. And as everything, the Lord gives us a choice in everything we do. There's a beautiful thing about our Creator is that he gives us a choice in everything. It's the idea of free will. I won't get into a sermon on between free will and God's will, because that'll take a year. But the Lord does give us a choice. The Lord allows us to decide to walk with him. We have a choice to give our life over to Christ from the first moment we choose to see Jesus. When he's first presented to us, we are all given that choice. Whatever age you were, whatever time during your life it was, you were given that choice to, are you going to walk with God or not? Your walk with God started with a choice, and we will be given choices daily on whether or not we want to walk with him. Every commandment is a choice for us to follow, and the reason we know that is because the Israelites did a pretty good job at choosing not to follow the Ten Commandments. But we recognize that when they chose not to, there was consequences for that. As we talked last week, a heart not to give misses out on what the Lord has in store. A heart that doesn't want to give misses out on blessings, or even worse, it talks of time and time again that it'll actually lead to poverty and to destruction. I know that the idea of giving to receive can confuse us, but the Lord is clear and faithful that if we honor him in faith and joy, that he will bless us. That's everything that we talked about last week. I didn't do it in 2 minutes last week, I can tell you that. But today we're going to be focusing on our fifth point. And our fifth point today, and how we can worship the Lord with our finances, is with contentment. Being content. That's the fifth way that we can worship the Lord with our finances. And again, this is a little bit different than the first four practices. It's not an actual practical thing. You can't account contentment. You can't put contentment into a 401k or the offering plate. You can't do that. There's not a practical side to this. But it is a huge part of worshiping God. It's a huge part of giving the Lord everything with our finances, and it's the root for every other point that we've talked about so far. Accounting, saving, planning, tithing, it all comes from being content with the Lord. Everything we've talked about comes from a place of being satisfied with what God is doing. So as we get into this, we're going to pray, and I pray that we would just be satisfied with what the Lord is doing. Be content with what the Lord is doing in our lives. If we're not at that place, let's pray right now. Lord, show me how to be satisfied with you. I want to be satisfied with you. I used to have people when I was an RA at Elam, time and time again, they'd come up to me. It's like, oh, what is the Lord doing? What is the Lord doing? I want to know what the Lord is doing. I want to know what the Lord is doing. He's like, take a deep breath, calm down, and be satisfied with what God is doing. Be satisfied with what the Lord is doing. And when you reach that place of satisfied, when you can be content with what the Lord has given you and what the Lord is doing in your life, He'll begin to continue to pour in, and over an abundance of love will come out. So let's pray this morning that He just open our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, we just give you our time this morning. We give you our hearts this morning. Lord, we want to be satisfied with you. We want to be content with what you have given us, Lord. We want to have a heart that truly can look at our lives and say, Lord, I am satisfied. Maybe that means we got to change some things. Maybe that means we got to make some different decisions. But Lord, we want to be satisfied with who you are and what you're doing. Lord, you satisfy us. Lord, you will fill us up if we let you, Lord. We give you our time. We give you this day. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that's our fifth one, contentment. Being content. Oh my goodness, for the first couple minutes, I kept mixing up the scriptures between content and contempt. And boy, this would have been a different message if I was preaching on contempt. But being content is such a massive part of a godly relationship with our finances. Coming to a place of satisfied with our finances will immediately begin to bring us to a place of peace. Being satisfied with what the Lord has given us will bring us to a place of peace in our lives. 1 Timothy 6 through 10 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That last verse, we've talked about that two or three times already in this series, but now we get to see what leads up to that. We've talked to that last verse a handful of times, and when we add that context in beforehand, we see that a lack of being content with our finances is what leads us to a place to let sin in. When we're not content, it's saying, hey, be content. Be satisfied with what the Lord has given you. And when you do, you will be filled. But if you're not content, oh boy, it's the love of money that lets in all kinds of evil. It starts off with being satisfied with what the Lord is doing and what the Lord has given us. Lack of content with what the Lord has given us will begin to make us dissatisfied with the Lord and what He has done in our lives. As Paul says, we didn't bring anything into this world. We didn't bring anything into this world at all. When He brought us into the world, that is key, when He brought us into this life, that's when we started to receive things. So therefore, everything we have in this life began and started with Him. Our life alone is from Him, and from that moment forward, everything we have is from Him. The breath in our lungs was founded and formed by Him. If we are content with what we have, we are admitting that the Lord has provided for us. And if we're not content, we're saying, Lord, you haven't given me enough. When we start to say, oh, I'm not content. I need more. I'm not satisfied with what we have. We start to say, Lord, you've shortchanged me. Lord, you forgot something. Lord, where was this? I thought I was supposed to have this. Lord, you must not have done your job completely. When we're not content with what the Lord has given us, we start to say, Lord, you've messed up. Where is it? Being content with what we have really comes down to not focusing on what we have, but focusing on the one who gave it to us. Being content switches our focus from objects and worldly possessions to focusing on the Lord. When we start to say, all right, I can count my things, I can do all this, that's when we start to go, okay, huh, something's missing. There's something missing. But when we say, all right, Lord, my focus is on you, it doesn't matter what's around us. We're going to look at Solomon today. We talked about Solomon's riches. It trillions and trillions of dollars in today's money. But he's able to say, Lord, I don't even look at all that. Lord, I want to know you. I want to have just enough, and I want to know your truth. That was Solomon's desire. That was his heart. Focusing on him and not the things he gives us. It's that idea of we're focusing on the healer and not the healing. We're focusing on the Savior and not the saving. I know the women talked at the women's brunch yesterday about God's calling on their life and how it starts with seeking and knowing God. I mentioned it. So I know so many people that are constantly going, what's the call? What's the call in my life? What's God calling me to? What's God calling me to? But if you're so busy chasing the calling, you're not going to be chasing the one who gives the call. You're so focused on going, all right, what is he doing? What is he doing? What is he doing? He's saying, look at me. Seek me and I'll show you what I'm doing. Being content with our finances is really about prioritizing our relationship with God over our relationship with finances. It's every time we enter into something that costs us money going, all right, Lord, this is for you. I'm giving it over to you. I'm giving it over to you. I'm giving it over to you. Yeah, that can sound tedious. That can sound frustrating. But when you begin to go, all right, Lord, this is for you. This is for you. Every time I tap this little piece of plastic, Lord, this is for you. This is for you. We'll start to realize that the way we spend, the way we choose to spend our money and save our money and plan with our money, we'll realize it'll start to align with what he's doing in our lives. Look at what Solomon says regarding contentment. He says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than a great treasure with trouble. We see here that the relationship with God is prioritized over the amount of treasure in our lives. Being content in our lives, whether in finances or anything else, comes strictly from an established relationship with the Lord. When he says the fear of the Lord, that translates to awe and honor and respect. So he's saying, it is better that I have a little bit of money, but I'm in awe of him, I respect him, I honor him, to have a great deal of money and not be walking in alignment with him. My desire is that even if I have very little or nothing, that my heart and my mind and my walk are all set to him, than to say, ooh, I am rolling it in right now, but I am doing exactly the opposite of what he called me to. It's better for us to honor him and be in awe in him. The greatest life any of us can live is when we solely rely on God. The best life that we can have is when we are solely focused and relying on what the Lord has for us. When we prioritize pursuing worldly riches rather than pursuing God, we will never be content. You'll never be content. If our heart and our desire is pursuing worldly riches over pursuing a relationship and a walk with God, we'll never be satisfied. It'll never fill us up. The times I've truly been content are not when my bank account has been the highest, but when I can look at my life and my walk with God and I can say, Lord, you have loved me. You have been faithful to me. Thank you for my life. And those moments don't always come when your bank account's at the highest. Sometimes those moments come when your bank account might be in the red and you can say, Lord, well, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I look at my life and you have always been good. I am satisfied with you and you will fill me. You will fill me. That is contentment. Not, Lord, you are good because my bank account is full and my circumstances are great. Yes, he is good in those times. He is good when the bank account is full. He is good when our circumstances are great. But no matter the circumstances, no matter what is in my bank account, you are good. That's why as Dan and the team led that song this morning, Great Are You, Lord, we all could wholeheartedly sing that no matter what we were going through. Every single one of us could sing that song saying, Great are you, Lord. We're all going through something different, some good, some bad, some ugly. But because of the Lord's faithfulness, because of what his son did on the cross, we could all sit there and go, Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Your name is beautiful. Your name is powerful. Your name is great, Lord. If we are not content in the waiting, we will not be content in the promises. If we are not content in the waiting, we will not be content in the promises. That's a scripture we talked about with stewardship, where the master goes to the servant and says, you were not a good steward with little. How can you be a good steward with much? If we are not content when we have nothing, how are we going to be content when we have something? Because our trust at that point is not in God. Our trust is in our possessions. When our trust is in the Lord, we can say, no matter how little, no matter how much I have, Lord, I'm content because it's not based on worldly riches. It's based on you. And that's a beautiful place to get to. It can take time. It can be tough. It can take a heap of faith and trust, which was how we're going to end today. When we get there, this is not the end. Don't kid yourself. Not that quick. Jeez Louise. But we have to be content in the waiting. Solomon again says, two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. He's saying, Lord, give me these things before I die. I want to see these two things. And the two things he says are amazing. He says, remove falsehood and lies far from me and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food allotted to me. Solomon wanted two things. He wanted truth and contentment. He wanted truth and contentment. It's the reason that as we discussed a couple weeks ago, when the Lord said, Solomon, whatever you want, you can have it. He says, I want wisdom. I want wisdom. I want to know you, Lord. I want you to be my source of reasoning and decision-making. He could have easily said, bring it on, Lord. Bring it on. Give me, I want the skyscrapers. I want this to be, he could have asked for the $2 trillion of dollars that were what he was worth at the end of his life. He could have asked for that. But he says, no, I want wisdom. He wanted to live in truth. And because of that, he was content without riches. He was content without riches. And the thing is, he was content without riches. And because of that, he got the blessing. The blessing. All I can think of was Christmas vacation. The blessing. The thing is, he still got the blessings and an abundance of them. I don't know about you, but $2 trillion, that's an abundance. That is an abundance. He didn't ask for riches and blessings. He asked for truth and contentment. He asked, Lord, satisfy me. And the Lord says, oh, I'll satisfy you. I will satisfy you. That is what Solomon sought after, was to be satisfied. If we aren't satisfied with what the Lord has given us or has done in our life, rather than asking for more, we need to ask the Lord to be made content. asking for more when we're not content isn't going to solve the problem. It's not going to solve the problem. There's a lack of contentment in your life. Go, Lord, I am not satisfied with my life. Our desire should be, all right, Lord, give me something new. Give me something new. Add to my life. Add to my life. Our desire should be, Lord, make me content with what I have. Make me content with what you have done. I want to be satisfied with what I have right now. Because the world bases contentment on physical things. They base it on physical things. We have a daughter and one on the way, and we have a great apartment that has enough bedrooms for that. But the first thing a lot of people say, oh, you're going to need a house. Oh, that's, you're going to need a house. Yes, practically, we're going to need more space as more children come in. But there's a level of us that can go, I'm content with what we have, Lord. You will provide. You will provide. You will provide, Lord. I'm content with what you have given me. And my heart was saying, Lord, this isn't enough. Bring on the money, Lord. Bring it on. I need more. Pop that. Oh, isn't that so funny? As soon as when we start to put our trust in this world and we start seeking, it seems if everything just goes away, everything disappears. It's like, all right, Lord, I'm going to start looking for a house. I don't know if that's what you want, but I'm going to start looking for a house. It never appears. Oh, Lord, I need a car. I need a car. I'm going to go out. Look. The cars are, oh my goodness, used cars today are so expensive. But when you start to say, Lord, all right, I'm content with you, open a door. More times than not, a door opens where it least looks like it. Hannah and I are shopping for dressers for the new nursery. And we were looking at a marketplace. We were looking at thrift shops. And my aunt, who lives in Perry, goes, hey, we're getting rid of two dressers. One's a clothes dresser and one has some shelving. I was like, hallelujah. She goes, yeah, I'll drop it off this afternoon. I was like, hallelujah. I don't have to drive and pick it up. Hallelujah. It was one of those things where the Lord's like, just be satisfied with me and I'll provide for you. Be content with what he has. Solomon's desire was to be content with the Lord and seek his truth. He didn't ask for riches. We can begin to ask that the Lord would give us wisdom and show us his truth. And when we begin to pursue his heart with those questions, we will begin to be satisfied. When our heart's desire is the heart of the Lord, that's what will satisfy us. That is what will lift us up when we start to pursue his heart. Again, these are Solomon's words in the Old Testament, and we live in a new covenant. We're saved through the death and resurrection of Jesus on the cross for our sins, and if we believe in that, we are saved. Hallelujah. So yes, that was Solomon, Old Testament. What does Jesus have to say? That's what does Jesus have to say about this? Luke 12:15, it says, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Jesus warns against selfishly desiring things that aren't in our life. He says, be careful. Be careful. Your life does not consist in the abundance of things we possess. In other words, we're not content or we're not going to be satisfied with these earthly possessions. Money will never be enough for us to be joyful. Yes, money can buy momentary happiness. Anybody that tells you money can't buy happiness, I don't know. They've never bought a new gun. They've never bought a new fishing pole. They've never been able to afford a new car. I tell you, money can buy momentary happiness. You ever found, like, we're just walking on a sidewalk, there's nobody in sight. It's just you, and you find a $5 bill. Oh, woohoo, let's go. Let's go. Or you put on a pair of old jeans or a coat you haven't worn in, like, a couple months, and, like, my gosh, a 20 in my pocket. You're getting happy about that. You're getting excited about that. Yeah, I'm getting happy about that. Woo, 20. Might as well be Christmas, my goodness. But our satisfaction won't come from that. Yeah, it buys us a little bit of happiness right in that moment. But if we put our trust and our happiness in finding $20 in our jeans, yikes. Yes, it's good when it happens, but boy, it doesn't happen often. I'm hiding 20s in my jeans, so a month from now I'll find it and be happy. I just had that vision inside my head of me opening my drawer, shoving 20s in all of my jean pockets. Jesus says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. What fills us is hungering and thirsting for righteousness. What fills us is desiring the Lord. That's what fills us. Those who seek after the things of God, those who search after the Lord, they will be filled. Do you feel empty today? Do you feel shortchanged? Do you feel that your current circumstances aren't what they should be? I could cut you a check right now for $100, yes, and make you happy for a moment. But seeking the Lord is the only thing that will satisfy us. Seeking the Lord is the only thing that will ever satisfy us to the end of our life. You hear testimony after testimony of people who have been lifelong atheists, lifelong agnostics, who have lived a life just totally denounced to the things of Christ, and they get on their deathbed and they begin to say, Lord, I need you. They look at eternity and are not satisfied. They look at eternity and go, I am missing out on something. Walking with God and being satisfied with how amazing He is the only way we will be filled and content with our lives. It's the only way we will be satisfied. We could chase dream after dream. It's good to have dreams. It's good to have plans. It's good to have visions. Sometimes our staff meetings are just us casting visions, casting desires. We had some office changes, and Michael goes, what if we did a prayer room in a library? And I'm like, yes, I love that idea, a room where people can just pray and there's resources for them if they want. I love that idea. We don't stop having plans. We don't stop having visions. We don't stop having that heart. The Lord desires that we would just cast these visions and dreams. But He's saying, if you're not soul purpose is seeking after me, those dreams will not satisfy you. Those dreams will not satisfy you. Those visions will not satisfy you. Those hobbies will not satisfy you. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That phrase right there has held me. It has held me in some of the darkest, loneliest times in my life. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Knowing that the God of this universe, our Creator, our Savior will never leave us nor forsake us is the greatest thing we can hold on to. And that's why when we pursue Him, when we seek Him, He will satisfy us, because it's the only thing that will never leave us or forsake us. I can remember when Hannah and I first started dating, and I brought a lot of baggage and a lot of insecurities from my life up until that point into that relationship. Because all the other relationships I had been a part of or had seen in my life had always failed. My parents, grandparents, they're all divorced on both sides of my family. A relationship that I had for 3 years ended in a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. So early on in our relationship, when I would make a mistake, because I do that a lot, or I would say something wrong because I do that a lot, I'd start to break down and in fear and anxiety, because everywhere I looked, everywhere I turned, the relationships in my life were failing. And the most comforting thing that she would ever say to me is, she goes, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving. And it took me a while to understand that she actually meant that. It took me a long time to actually realize after some of the stupid things I said or the mistakes I made early on and maybe even yesterday, for her to look at me and go, I'm not leaving. I'm by your side. I'm going to remain faithful to you. That love that says, through thick or thin, I will stand by you. I will keep going and I will keep growing with you. Man, that meant so much to me. And let me tell you, I love my wife, and she knows that, but the Lord's love and faithful to us is 1,000 times greater than that. That love that she says to me, I'm not going to leave you, I'm going to be by your side. The Lord says that with 1,000-fold more times. He holds us and cares for us no matter what we do. He says, I'm going to be here by you. And that is what leaves us filled and content. Him saying, I care for you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. That's why we can hold on to that and say, this will never let me down. This will always satisfy me because nothing else will ever satisfy us. It's that love that allowed Paul to say this to the church of Philippi. In Philippians 4:11-12, it says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In the midst of whatever Paul was going through, he was satisfied. Paul was always satisfied, and it was not based on his circumstances, but it was based on the love of the Lord. That is what satisfied him. Our finances will fail us time and time again. Our finances will let us down. Two things that bring us together and we can agree on. The gospel of Jesus Christ and the finances sometimes won't be there. Those are all things that I believe everybody can say, yep, that happens. Yep, that happens. Oh my goodness, we brought our car in just for an inspection, and I'm there shaking. I'm there shaking. Because as you guys know, you guys have been on us through the journey of our Mazda, our previous car. Oh my goodness, every time we took that car in, it was a $2,000 appointment because the engine was so busted and beaten up. So every time we get a phone call from the mechanic, it was, oh buddy, this is not good news. So I'm in there, I'm shaking because, a $20 inspection. Oh boy, oh boy. He says, all right, come on, Andrew. I'm like, dear Jesus, please help me. Please give me the peace right now, Lord. And he says, $24.99. I was like, oh, that's it? He goes, yeah, there's a light bulb out over the license plate. I go, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You are faithful. You are good. It's so, so amazing how the Lord comes through for us. But our finances will always fail us, but the Lord's love, the Lord's faithfulness will always satisfy. Our finances will fail us time and time again, and because of that, we must pursue the only thing that never will fail us, and that is the Lord. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, for all these things will be added to you. If we seek first the kingdom of God, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. That is something that time and time and time again has been brought up as we entered into this new year. That is something that every conversation that I seem to have with somebody is about seeking the Lord. I met with a young student over at Elam. We all know him, Alex Ngochu, is the missionary that we helped support to India. I met with him, and he said, the Lord is telling me that I need to seek the Lord this year. We had our young adults group. And we asked Tyler and Jessica, we said, hey, why don't you lead the group? And they came in and it's like, we just felt the Lord telling us that we need to seek the Lord. We need to seek him. We need to seek him. That is the only thing that will leave us content, is seeking the Lord. Anything else that we will seek in this life will eventually let us down, but the Lord never will. The Lord never will. As much as you want to, as much as you want to say, this thing will never let me down, it will. It will, and it can be hard, especially when it's someone you love. Oh my goodness, for me as a husband, there's nothing that hurts me more than when I let down my wife. when I let down my wife, there is nothing more that hurts me because I know that my commitment to her is I'm never going to let you down. I know that I put that on myself, and those are hard standards to uphold to. But it's something that when you let down someone you love, it hurts because I'm never going to let you down. The only thing that will never let us down is the Lord. He will never let us down. There will be those seasons, and Paul mentions where he learned how to be abased, where he learned what it meant to be in need. There will be those times where it is hard and you just want to yell and scream and be mad at God. Those times will come when you want to be frustrated. But when we seek him in the midst of those times, he will satisfy us and bring us through them. He will satisfy us and bring us through them. I want to challenge anybody right now who's going through a tough time. Begin to seek the Lord. Begin to seek the Lord. I know sometimes that can be the last thing you want to hear, the last thing you want to do. I always used to get so upset when I'd tell my grandfather, I'm going through this difficult time. He goes, seek the Lord. And I go, yeah, seek the Lord. I know that's what I'm supposed to do. I want some advice. I want help right now. I go, seek the Lord. Just keep seeking the Lord. I'm like, all right, fine. I'll keep seeking the Lord. And that was the only thing that ever satisfied me. That was the only thing that ever got me through. It was seeking the Lord. When we seek him in the midst of those times, he will satisfy us and bring us through. And we can only get there by trusting in him. That only comes when we trust in him. We've discussed 5 ways to worship the Lord with our finances, whether it's accounting, saving, planning, tithing, and through being content and faithfully carrying out each of these practices comes down to that simple word, trust. It comes down to that simple word, trust, which is sometimes the hardest thing to do. Sometimes it's the hardest thing to do is trust, especially when your trust has been broken time and time and time and time again. To then go, but trust the Lord. Oh, I've trusted in things before and it hasn't worked out. Guess what? Trusting the Lord will never fail. Trusting the Lord will never fail. Psalms 37, 3-4, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. I love that. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. And the thing is, his faithfulness will never run out. It'll never run out. You will never grow hungry when you feed on his faithfulness. When we trust in him and begin to seek him, our joy, or as David puts it, our delight will be in the Lord. We will be satisfied and content in the Lord. And in the moment when our heart is aligned and running with the Lord's, he will begin to make our heart's desires come to be. When our heart is aligned with him, walking with him, running with him, when we're trusting in him, when we're faithfully feeding on his faithfulness, he'll say, all righty, your heart is with me. Your heart's desires are about to come on, and they're about to come on quick. When we trust in the Lord, when we have faith in the Lord, when we align our hearts with the Lord, he says, those desires that I have put in you will come to pass. Will come to pass. We want to see the calling in our lives come to pass. Seek him, align our lives with him, and we will begin to see those desires come to be because those desires are his. When our hearts aligned with him, those desires that come from our heart are his desires. Isaiah 26, 3-4, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Our needs and our weaknesses will be satisfied when we trust in the Lord. When we trust in him, when we put our faith in him, when we seek him, we know that our needs, our weaknesses, the areas that we say, Lord, I need you right now, they will be filled when we begin to trust in him. So to wrap this all up, we need to trust in the Lord and be content. We need to trust in him and be content with where he has us. And that's not saying if we're in the middle of a storm or in the middle of an ocean, we need to say, bring it on, Lord, give me more. But we need to say, Lord, thank you for that you are going to bring me through this. Thank you that you are standing with me in this storm. All I see right now is the disciples freaking out as Jesus is sleeping in the bottom of the boat, and they're freaking out about the storm around us. He comes up and is like, what's the problem? What's the problem? What do you fear? I'm here. I'm with you. And he puts to ease everything around them. He puts to ease everything around him. If we can do that, if we can trust in the Lord and be content, all the rest will begin to fall into place. Everything else will begin to fall into place. We can begin to account, we can plan, we can save, we can tithe, all of this and more. And it comes from trusting in God and being satisfied with him. Trusting in the Lord and being satisfied. When we can be satisfied with the Lord, he will begin to pour more into our lives. We cannot expect an abundance if we are not satisfied with what we have. And if we want to say, Lord, I'm going to see you work mightily, then we got to, he's saying, trust in me. Trust in me. Seek me. Trust in me. And I will bring you to a place of contentment. So my challenge for us to close this series is, can we trust God enough to worship him with our finances? Can we trust him enough that we can worship him with our finances? All the things we've talked about, accounting, planning, saving, tithing, could we trust in him enough to worship him with those things? And the plain and simple answer to that question is, I'll give you the answer, it is yes. Yes is the answer to that. But we each need to be able to get to that place. I know the answer. The Lord knows the answer. Many of you may know what the answer is, but there's a difference between knowing the answer and believing the answer. There's a huge difference between knowing the answer and believing the answer. I know I need to trust in the Lord, but going, all right, Lord, I'm trusting you in this situation, that's a different story. Lord, I know I need to seek you. But to put all everything else aside and go, Lord, I'm going to seek you first and foremost, that's something that we need to decide every single day of our lives. We each need to be able to seek God with that question and not just know the answer, but have the Lord write it on our heart and believe the answer. And if that's a question we're struggling to answer, maybe we need to start with, Lord, help me trust in you. Maybe that's where we need to start today. Maybe there's some of you that are going, all right, Lord, I trust in you. I need to trust in you with my finances now. But maybe there's some people out there that are going, Lord, I'm having a tough time just trusting. I'm having a tough time just trusting. And if that's you, as we close this morning, as we pray, I'm not going to call you out, have you stand up. Oh, these people don't trust in the Lord. No. That's not what we're doing. As we close in prayer, I want you to say, Lord, help me trust in you. Help me trust in you. And for everybody else, I want you to say, Lord, can I trust in you enough to give you over my finances? Every area of them, Lord, I want you to be in them, because I don't want to be seeking and pursuing my finances, Lord. I want to be seeking and pursuing you, knowing that you will take care of the rest. Worshiping with our finances starts with trusting in him and having faith that he will take care of you. And we've closed each service so far with the reading of Proverbs 3:5. And today I want to add in verse 6, because I believe it'll help those of us who are struggling with trust in him understand that as we trust in him, he is faithful to take care of us. So why don't we stand and pray, and I'll read the scripture and pray it over our lives. And we can seek the Lord in this time of prayer to say, Lord, I need to trust in you. Lord, I need to trust in you with my finances. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. All right, Lord, I know it. I know I need to trust in you. I know I need to not lean on my own understanding. But in verse 6, Lord, we hear it say, in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Lord, we seek you today. Lord, thank you for everything we have in this life. Thank you that everything that we have has come from you, Lord. And because of that, Lord, help our hearts be content with where we're at. Let us be satisfied with you and you alone, Lord, knowing that whatever else comes into our life and comes out of our life, Lord, we are content with you, Father. And we know that starts with a heart that is trusting and seeking you, Lord. I pray right now for those who can trust you, Lord, that they would begin to say, Lord, I want to trust in you with my finances. Help me, Father, in those times where the money's tight, where I can say, Lord, I trust in you with my finances, Lord. Give it over to you. Give it all to you so I can seek you first and foremost. And Lord, we pray for those right now who are having trouble trusting in you, Lord. Whether they've been hurt, abused, broken here in the world, and they're saying, I've trusted before, I'm not trusting again. Lord, I pray that you would begin to show them how faithful you are, how good you are, that if they begin to trust in you, that you will never leave them or forsake them, Lord. Lord, we are so in love with you, and we want to see your will be done here on earth. Let our heart's desire be to seek you and trust in you and get to a place where we can say, Lord, I am satisfied with everything that you have for me, Lord. We bless your name. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.